Hi, I'm Carla Wainwright.
And I'm Little Leah.
And welcome to the Radical Sex Witches podcast, where we explore the themes of sexuality, feminism, consciousness, love, healing, ritual, magic, and all things witchy and wonderful.
Hello, all you wonderful witches of the macabre. Today we are celebrating our 13th episode. So in honor of that, we're going to talk about the magical and mystical number 13. I'm Little Leah, and with me is my co-host, Carla Wainwright. Hi, Carla.
Hey, Leah.
How's it going today on our magical 13th episode?
I know, it's flown by so fast on our broomsticks. Yeah, I'm great.
And by the time this comes out, I'm going to completely forget anything that I've talked about, which is the regular around here. A friend will text me and be like, bah, ha, ha, ham sandwich. And I'll be like, what the hell are they talking about? But I digress. It has been a wonderful 13 episodes so far. We've covered the gamut of topics, but we're going to dive really deep into the number 13. So for me personally, you know, I've never been one to do what everybody else is doing. So for me, 13 is lucky. And I can't really explain it. It's just something that I've always felt. What about you?
Absolutely. I think I was always like, people think that's unlucky. Well, I'm going to say it is lucky as shit. Yeah, always wanting to be subversive in some way. So, and yeah, I have a few associations with 13 growing up. So I remember my grandparents lived in New York City. And so we would go visit a couple times a year. I grew up in Montreal. And they lived in an apartment building, which was for my brother and I, like to take the elevator up and down the penthouse, back down to the main floor over and over again. Like that was a big form of recreation. But of course, the apartment building did not have a 13th floor. So the buttons on the, you know, inside the elevator went from 12 to 14. But I'm like, there is a 13th floor, or is there a 13th floor? And it's just totally empty.
Really?
And there's nothing there.
It actually skipped 13 in number.
Oh, that's super common.
I've heard of it, but I've never been in a building where I've seen, you know, the buttons jump from 12 to 14. I wonder if they probably don't do that with like modern day buildings, do they?
I don't think they do, but I just remember, you know, and being in many buildings in that city, there often 13 would be completely skipped. So I always thought that was kind of weird as a kid. I'm like, well, what is that? If you're on the 14th floor, you're really on the 13th floor. What does that mean?
Just running up and down the halls with pans and, banging on people's doors. It's 13. Clang, 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 clang.
Exactly. And my grandmother was on the 11th floor. So I kind of felt like she actually got the real number. But everybody who was over the 12th floor really got screwed out of whatever number they were
imposters.
On. Exactly. Exactly. So that was always something I remembered as a kid. And as I got older, I found out some really cool associations with 13. So, one actually, this is another one I remember as a kid, was a baker's dozen. So, you get that extra one. It's kind of like the bonus.
Yeah. The bonus cookie that you'd kind of eat first to top off the fact that it was just a dozen.
That's right. So it doesn't count. Has no calories. It's totally good.
Exactly.
I found out that, as I got older, that 13 also had some like powerful associations with our body, because as women, we menstruate typically, not every woman is different, but typically 13 times a year. And that corresponds largely with the lunar cycle. So I thought, well, that's pretty badass. So I really like that.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
And then 13 also is this number within something called the Fibonacci. It's a Fibonacci number. Have you ever heard of Fibonacci?
I have, but off the top of my head, you know, I'm a stoner. So whoops.
So Fibonacci was this medieval mathematician. I think he was Italian. And in the 13th century, he came up with a treatise on numbers. And he derived a sequence where this sequence, it's basically every number added to the previous one gives you the next number. So it's, I think it goes 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, and so on and so on. So 13 is one of those numbers. And what's so amazing about Fibonacci numbers, I feel like I'm totally digressing here, but I think it's fascinating, is that we find it in nature. So if you look at like spirals in nature or what did I write down here? Like branching in trees and ferns, it all corresponds to those numbers. So I love that 13 is in there because it just feels like it's extra powerful that it's a number that you see also in nature. So yeah, I've always loved the number 13.
And not just nature, I mean, which is a really huge deal when you think about it, because nobody did that except for the earth itself. The number 13 is actually significant in many cultures. And they do find it lucky. Not everyone does find it bad, like the Sikhs, the Muslims, the ancient Egyptians. Mostly in the West, though, we didn't find it so lucky.
Yeah, I feel like we're keep revisiting the story and we'll probably keep continue to revisit this story. How in the West we have created lots of associations to things that aren't necessarily in alignment or good for us in some way. And so, yeah, we have unlucky associations with the number 13. So I think where this comes from, there's a little bit of debate about it, but one of the possibilities, which is probably pretty true, is that the Last Supper had 13 people around the table. So you had Christ and the 12 apostles, and Judas was, of course, the 13th to sit at the table. So that already set up the number 13 to have some bad associations with it. And years that had 13 moons were considered a long time ago to be very unfortunate because it upset the regular arrangement of church festivals. So so priests really hated those years, apparently, and gave them a lot of criticism. And I actually thought that we always had 13 moons every year, but that's actually not true, that every century, so every 100 years, there are about 37 years that have 13 full moons, and the rest of them have 12 full moons. So it's about just over a third of years within a century have 13 moons. Then we start to get into all of this kind of patriarchal stuff where witches' covens were said to always have 13 members. I'm pretty sure that that was not true.
No, but I was just going to say, where did we find this fact from? I mean, it's pretty cool. And if we're going to start a coven, there, you know, we need to find like fucking 11 more people.
I bet you we could have 11 more people in a heartbeat if we wanted
to. Absolutely. You guys listening know how to find us.
Exactly. And maybe, you know, maybe witches had a 13th nipple too. I don't know.
13th nipple? Where the hell are all the other ones? Just open up your shirt and you're a fucking cat. Meow, meow.
But they did used to say that women would, witches had an extra nipple. So they'd have a third nipple. So why not just add one in front of it too and just make it lucky 13? Or your cat would have 13 nipples, right?
That's, maybe yeah, which what I mean is like you just open your shirt and it's all these kitty titties down your chest.
Yeah, so there's all of these associations of number 13 being bad. I think part of it too is that 12 in Christianity was considered this very perfect number. And so anything that deviated from that, anything that was one more than that was just considered unlucky or bad in some way.
Right. And I mean, we're kind of forgetting one really important thing. I know that you don't give a shit, Carla, but you know, the gore whore in me, the harlot of horror, Friday the 13th horror franchise. Jason's coming. I'm such a fucking nerd. Have you ever watched Have you ever watched any of them?
No. So, you know, when Halloween would happen and Friday the 13th would come on, I would turn off the TV. I can't do horror. It completely throws off my nervous system. I've never been able, I've never even seen the Blair Witch Project, so I can't.
Carla, right now I'm just really questioning why we're even friends now. I live for all things horror.
One of my daughters is super into horror. And actually, just as a side note, we once went to Hubble Homestead for Halloween and they do a horror haunted house. And which I don't know if you've ever gone, they used to do a really good job. So the teenagers would get in there, they decorate this super old farmhouse, you know, from olden days. And my daughter was like maybe five or six and her brother and twin sister were like, there's no way that I'm going with with her. Yeah. So I'd have to go and I would basically be looking at the floor the whole time. And my five-year-old was like so lit up.
The this best thing ever.
The scarier, the better. And yeah, her adult parent couldn't even look at it, anything. So no.
Well, I mean, that's a good segue to the next fact that, you know, some people are fearful, are they, of Friday the 13th? I mean, you're just scared in general of horror movies, but people are actually afraid of 13.
Yeah, Friday the 13th actually, believe it or not, has an official phobia name. And I'm going to try to say this. It's Frigga Triskaidekafobia. Phobia.
Jesus.
Frigga Triskaidekafobia. Okay, so let's break it down because it's actually kind of cool.
Okay.
So the first part comes from Frigg. So that's referring to Friday. And Frigg was the Norse goddess of wisdom. And Friday was named after her. And then the Greek words Triskaideka, which means 13. And then, of course, we have a phobia, which is fear. And apparently millions of people suffer from this. Like, it's a real legit fear. And even more people suffer just from Triskaidekafobia, which is being freaked out by the number 13. So this is like a real thing.
That's really weird. If any of you out there have these phobias, I want to know more.
Absolutely.
Somewhere. And please explain this, because I could understand certain days of the week, you know, people get freaked out when there's a full moon or an eclipse. It's understandable, right? But it's like, here I am walking to go get some bread at the store and holy fuck, there's a 13 and I got to go home. Happens if you ring up your bread and it comes to 13 cents? So you're like, I got to buy some gum. Let's throw some gum on top of this. Like, is this how this works? I need to know more.
Yeah, I know. And I'm sure it's some kind of learned behavior. It's all awfully interesting. So if you do have this, please tell us. We do want to know. It is really, really interesting. And of course, you know, the Friday the 13th thing, this is a relatively, I think, new phenomenon, because Friday was actually a really blessed day for ancient pagans. It would be a lucky day where you would, you know, ask to receive blessings and gifts from the gods. And 13 was considered to be the last stage of life. So the first 12 were in this life here on earth. And then the 13th part of your life, which is your final life, really symbolized the afterlife. And there's another bit I just want to share with everybody about Friday the 13th. This is a quote from an author, Charles Panati. So when Norse and Germanic tribes converted to Christianity, Frigga was banished to shame to a mountaintop and labeled a witch. And it was believed that every Friday, the spiteful goddess convened a meeting with 11 other witches plus the devil. So here we go. Gathering of 13.
Rounding it out.
Yep. And plotted ill turns of fate for the coming week. And so for many centuries in Scandinavia, Friday was known as the witch's Sabbath.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's so cool. Some of this stuff is old.
Her shit list is fucking long, eh? If she's doing it every single week, like, who are we fucking up this week?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So it's so interesting how some of these things, you know, they have been part of our cultural identity for centuries. You know, it's embedded in us and our ancestors to have these conditionings around certain things. And even in our modern age where, you know, we don't believe in the same way that we did, you know, hundreds of years ago, these things persist because look at it. We actually have psychological labels for people who have these phobias in present day.
Yeah. So it's still going on. And those poor people, like sometimes we have four Friday the 13th in one year and every single year has at least one Friday the 13th in it. Also too, something really interesting on Friday, April 13th, 2029, mark your calendars, kiddies, the asteroid 99942 Apophis, I think is how you say it, which was originally thought to have a small chance of colliding with Earth, is simply just going to fly by us. See, 13's fucking lucky after all. If it wasn't, there could be a big fucking hole in this planet. But who knows? I mean, like, that's in 2029. Like, maybe, I don't know, something sets it off a bit and we're fucked. We'll find out.
Stay tuned. 8 years from now.
In 8 years, we'll come back and say, we told you so, fuckers. Just kidding. Yeah. So, Carla, do you have any other final thoughts on 13? I love the fact that we both think it's lucky.
Yeah, I think 13 is amazing. And I'm really curious for all of you listening out there, you know, what your association with the number 13 is. Did you always think it was lucky? When Friday the 13th rolls around in my calendar, it puts an extra, you know, kick in my step. I love it. I actually wanted one of my kids to be born on Friday the 13th. Did not happen, but
no. But at the same time, you know, what's really funny is when growing up as a child, we were taught this is an unlucky day. That's what it's known as. Watch out, you know, kind of like don't walk under a ladder. Don't let a black cat cross your path. All of that bullshit. We were taught that. And nobody ever taught me to think, well, this is a lucky day. Just somewhere in my twisted little, you know, subcockles of my mind, I was like, fuck it. I'm claiming this shit.
Your subcockles? I am taking that term. That is a
great term. That's Dennis Leary. Listen to the asshole song. And yeah. People out there will know what I'm talking about.
Your subcockles. Yes. Well, somewhere in my subcockles thought the same thing. And you know, that's that lineage. That's what is in our DNA. That's why we're here.
That's right. And speaking of things in our DNA, on our next episode, we're going to be talking about another one of our favorite words. It might not be the C word with that much power behind it, but we're going to be talking about slut. And I'm very, very, very excited. As always, I'm Little Leah.
And I'm Carla. And this is the Radical Sex Witches podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And we will see you next time.
Are you curious about how to liberate your inner witch and experience more pleasure, turn on, and a deeper connection to life? Head over to EmbracingShaktiTemple.com to learn how you can shed old limiting expectations, beliefs, and patterns, and finally let yourself be guided by your inner feminine wisdom and magic.